Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And it's good to see you all. Very excited about this series that we're starting. What we're going to do, I'll just explain, you know, what the agenda will be like over the next it's a three-series part. Obviously, we're not going to be meeting next week, but then the 2 weeks after. I'll go through a few things. In terms of what, looking at what you're hoping to expect from the series, and we'll pick it up from there. But first of all, why don't we go to God in prayer? Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we come before you just to commit this whole series into your hands. And Father, we pray, God, that it can really help us, God, to understand you better and to understand the role that work plays in our life. Father, we ask, God, that you guide us throughout the whole series, that your Holy Spirit can reveal, God, and enlighten us on scriptures. And, Lord, that we can really leave this series empowered by you to be more proactive and to really have a biblical perspective in terms of our work and how, God, that you want us to live our lives fully on this earth while we have time. Father, I pray, God, that we can be an environment where we learn from each other. It can be an environment, Father, where we really engage with each other, and that we even bring out things, Father, that maybe we weren't even aware of, God. But we really thank you for this opportunity that we have, and we just commit all this into your hands, as we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Okay. So the first thing I want to do is to hand this out to each and every one of you. There we do. We have a handout. There you go. See, JP had his beautiful assistant with him. Well, my beautiful assistant is taking care of my beautiful daughter. Okay, so this will give you, just turn the first page, and it give us an outline of what we're going to be going through. So the whole series is God and Work, Understanding Biblical Principles for Work. And the outline is this lesson. The purpose of today's lesson is to understand the purpose of work. And we'll be, first of all, just discussing our course contract in terms of what the expectations are. Then we'll go through like asking ourselves, what do we want to get out of the course? What's the problem we face with God and work? And that'll be more like an open discussion. And then how work has changed over the ages, we will look at that. And then biblical principles of work, and then the purpose of work. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. We should be finishing by 10:30. We'll have maybe a short break, if everything works, with the teas and coffees, hopefully, even though there might not be any milk. But and then on the 21st of March, we would meet again, and then we will look at four areas of focus in our work life. How your calling shapes your work, character matters and how to build it. God is important to skill, as skill is important to God. And then we also look at serving 360 degrees. Okay, all that will make sense as we go through it. Thank you. And then the last week we'll look at the church and work, work and the Great Commission, understanding the role church plays in the workplace, understanding influence, and then the role that you can play. So the whole idea behind this is that we leave with a we realign our understanding of our work with God's purpose, and we have a biblical view. That's the whole agenda for the whole series, and I pray that you know, this whole series will help us do that. And then at the end, you know, we'll recommend some books that you can read to follow, to increase your knowledge on this particular topic. Okay? Is that okay? Okay, so the first thing in terms of the course contract, will just be, the things that we want to highlight would be, it's not written down there, but it's something that I actually was going to ask if there was somebody in the group that was really good at taking notes. Because if that was possible, then maybe that person can come on the computer and actually type, you know, all the stuff. Rather than writing it on a whiteboard, we can have it on the PowerPoint, and then I can save that, and then we can email it out to everybody. That was a way. But if nobody's willing to do that, then it is being recorded. So, yeah, I'm recording it as well. Okay. Oh, so you're taking notes. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, that's excellent. Yes, you know. It's just that there's not enough space to write stuff at the same time. You got an, okay. Well, okay, so the course contract, the key things that we should all agree with is that we're here on time. Amen. Now, I mean, I do apologize myself for starting. It's like I was here from 8 o'clock. It's not my own, not like an excuse, but that the caretaker, there was a bit of a misunderstanding. So I was here from like after 8. So we're going to make sure that the caretaker's here earlier so everything can be set up so we can start. Yeah, that's the goal. But we're all here on time. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it is interactive. You know, everybody should participate, okay? That's the second thing. And there will be homework. And I will expect that you actually, you know, do the homework because that's going to help you. Okay, so those are the main things that I want us all to agree on. We're committed to this, and if you can't make it for one thing or the other, as a pressing reason, please let me know. Okay? Okay, so the first thing we're going to address would be to find out. No, please, if you can, there's seats. It'd be best if you're actually seated around, please. Yeah? So the first thing would be, okay, what do you want to get out from the course? And maybe in this case, maybe I can write stuff down. I've got paper here. Just stick this on the board, yeah? Yeah, you can. If you can, I mean, it would just make life. I thought we're in the high tech age.
Need some high tech typists as well.
The way it's got spell check as well, if that's what you're worried about. Okay, so where's the area? So everybody can see it as well. Yeah, if you just type it. So what do we want to get out of the course? Anybody? Yes, Coach.
I think, to be honest, I haven't really come with any agenda. With the struggles I have at work, it's very demanding. And to me, there's a lot of cliquism in the group I work with, which is unfortunately linked with race. You find that people similar to each other will respect each other. And I'm a minority. I'm the only Irish person. There's only about 6 white people in the department out of a group of about 50. And the struggle I have with this is, first of all, it's wrong. You know, and I suppose we all have a need to be respected for the work we do, for the effort we make. And the other thing is, time-wise, it's very demanding. We're very understaffed. And, you know, I could work 24/7, you know, if I was willing. You know, there's work there 24/7, and, you know, just the conflict, I suppose, between wanting to be a reliable person at work,
yes,
and having helpful at work versus wanting to have integrity with my friends and things that I've arranged out
okay.
of work. That for me is...
So it could be like work-life balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, just being at peace with myself, it doesn't matter. If they want to be cliquish and disrespectful, it shouldn't matter to me. As a Christian, my strength should come from God.
Yeah.
My humanity needs to be fed with positiveness.
Yes, okay. No, I understand. Okay, thank you for that. Anybody else? What do you want to get from the course? Yes, Rob.
I'd like to be more missional at work. It's going to be good just kind of exploring and visiting, you know, how I am. And always, I'm a robot, but I learn from it.
Okay. So more of a mission focus type of thing. Yes? Alan?
A better understanding of why we work and what good things are, you know, good things and things about work. You know,
good.
How we should work.
Yeah, so a better understanding of how we work and what God thinks about us while we work. Thank you. Anthony, one second.
I was just going to say how to deal with colleagues at work and what is God's will when you're working in that environment.
Yeah. God's will. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. How can God use us through our work? Yeah? Excellent. Okay. Anybody else? One more. Why are you here? Yes.
I would say there's a lot of demands, different jobs, but a lot of demands in certain jobs. And trying to know the best way to bring righteousness to the same level as all the other commercial and focuses that are in the business.
Yes.
Particularly, you know, when you managers and directors and people like that.
Yeah.
Not that I have a particularly bad experience, but that sometimes that focus is not the thing that's at the forefront.
Yes.
It's kind of in the background, but it's not on the forefront.
Mm. No, I mean, I think I hear you. Yeah, so I think that's a very important point, obviously, because you can work Monday to Friday and in a way you kind of like forget the Christianity, the righteousness and power. And it's like, I spoke to a Christian businessman a few weeks ago and he said, at the end of the day, business is all about making money, isn't it? You know, and, you know, he was in his business frame of mind at the time he said that. You know, so, but yeah, so I hope anybody else before, you know, because at the end of the day,
I think at work, you find myself joining through things when they're saying things that is not typical. Saying things like, running jokes,
okay. Yes. So in the workplace, obviously, they're not Christians, so you could be in an environment where there's a lot of swear. How do you handle this kind of situation? You know, what's the perspective? Okay, excellent. Is that okay, everybody, you know, in terms of what you want to get out of? So, at the end of the day, it's almost like the bottom line is that we want to have a fairer picture of what God wants from us in terms of the workplace, more or less. Yeah? Okay, thank you. So, in doing that, one of the things that I've realized that is very important is the way we think about things, you know, or to put it in another way, having the right theology is so important. A modern term for that is having the right paradigm. It was Stephen Covey that gave a fantastic illustration about looking at a picture and somebody seeing a young woman in that picture and another person seeing the same picture and seeing an old woman in that picture, and how that each person who saw what they could only identify reacted that way. And it just shows that the way we see issues is the way we behave from those issues. So, and this is what, just for me personally, the reason why this particular topic is very dear to my heart is that, you know, becoming a Christian and then going into the ministry and then coming out of the ministry when it wasn't like it was my decision, okay, it kind of like, it was like, the way I describe it is like a sliding tackle, because I thought this is it for life, working for God in the ministry. And in coming out, you know, and doing more study, I realized that a lot of the things that I the picture that I had about my work and working for the church was a wrong picture. It was like, this is it for life. This is God's, you know, calling us on, you know. And it was a sliding tackle, because a lot of the things that I had understood about working in that capacity was wrong. And in reflection, and maybe some of you that were on staff might even be able to remember this, that there were times, and even in staff meetings, where we would pray that, God, we thank you so much that we're not like people who are just sitting in their offices in front of computers and stuff like that. And it was like, we're now doing God's work. You know, this is it. At the end of the day, this is it. You know, and what that does invariably is that it sends a message that the work that you're doing is invaluable to God. You're doing secular work. God doesn't is not really interested in that. And it makes other people feel guilty about what they're doing. And it's a wrong perspective. You know, and I realize that this is not, this is really huge. Because we have this kind of like tradition that the height of spirituality was, at the end of the day, you end up in the ministry. And that might be God's calling for your life, but that does not mean that if you're not working for God in the ministry, that God doesn't value it. So, I, from that, really tried to do a lot of detailed study on this topic. And I hope that you will be able to benefit from this. So the first thing that we need to identify when it comes to changing our perspective or our paradigm is we need to identify what the problem is. You know, unless we can really verbalize it or put it in writing and see the problem, then we won't be able to change it. So let's discuss, before you turn to your notes, okay, because I've got some ideas of what the problem is, but I want us all to, is the word brainstorm still used? Thought shower. Okay, you know, so what's happened, unfortunately, is that many of us have picked up wrong beliefs when it comes to work. And that's, you know, and this has gone on over ages, and tradition, etc. So why don't we, first of all, open it up and let's try and maybe talk about what those issues are. Why is there this problem when it comes to God and faith, Christianity, you know? So let's, what do you think the issues are? Anybody?
For yes. Me, one thing is, looking back on my life in focus, I became a Christian when I was at college. Obviously, at college, you're there to get through exams and qualify. And so, whilst I wanted to be a Christian, I was trying to reach out to students and those around me. There was always that focus, I've got to get my exams done. I qualified, I was very lucky to go to Lagos for a few months. At that point in my life, my entire focus was on God. And then since then, came back and went into work. And then there's another period of my Christianity where, yes, I want to do what's right for God, I want to help others, but at the same time, I've got work that's now part of my agenda, part of what I've got to focus on. And I've certainly found it a struggle to see that not as a distraction, but actually what God wants.
So sometimes work is almost like work is in the way.
Yeah.
Oh, if it wasn't for work, I'd be able to devote my life to God. You know, thank you for that. Anybody else? What's the problem? Do you actually want to maybe write that down? What's the problem? Why is there this problem or pull?
Well, to a certain extent, you know, I'm just thinking about it. In some ways, our boundaries can be a problem. When we're at work, we're at work. When we're at play, we're at play. When we're at church, we're at church. And sometimes, I know in my mind, I tend to box things. Because work is very demanding, and it's very... I work in operating theatres, and it can be very demanding, and you have doctors barking in one ear, you have colleagues this way, you have colleagues... And, you know, my mind gets so full that... I have to box things to be able to manage my time well. You know, I do remember God, but then, you know,
So Rob?
You know, Rob, thank you, was saying the, you know, the mission mindset. You know, I try to self-control. You try and be an example, and then, you know, just...
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so I like that. We'll come back to that compartmentalizing. Okay.
I think
when you've got situations of conflict or being told in different places, certainly it's not always that the work is saying don't do the church, and it's not that the church is saying don't do the work. It's just that you're in the middle, and you at times you've got to go that way, or you want to go that way, but you've got something tugging you in another way. They're not fighting. Something's fighting in you.
Yeah.
But for me, it's often a feeling of guilt. And so my solution to that often is, okay, now I'm working. Forget God, so to speak. I'm going to do my work. And then on other occasions, I must admit, not so much recently, but years ago, I would say, no, I'm going to do this, forget work.
Yeah.
And I would find that, you know, sometimes, because I had certain flexibility at work, I could take a 3-hour lunch break to meet up with people and do things. Now, often I work late afterwards, but you always felt, is this right?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, that's
either one way or the other.
Spot on, the dichotomy, the pull of work and then church, you know, it's a fantastic picture. Anybody else wants to share? What's the problem?
Well, personally, for me, I find work is more demanding mentally than I would like it to be. So it's not so much an issue of time, it's when I do have the weekend, then currently most of Saturday is wiped out. So it's doing your work well, but then still having enough left to pour my God in another area.
Okay, amen. Thank you for that. Okay, well, if we turn in our notes to page 1, where we talk about the problem, I've highlighted a few. And maybe you might resonate with some of these. It says, unfortunately, many of us have picked up various beliefs that cause conflict as we strive to live out our Christian life in the workplace. So here I feel, for instance, some have the perspective. And remember, this is about the paradigm. You know, sometimes we're looking at these things from a different paradigm. Some will say work is a necessary evil. Some believe that work is part of the curse of the fall. Work is worldly, that is, it's a selfish pursuit, you know, and that's how things about praying about a secular job, the mindset is this is secular work, and so it's worldly. Working full time for your church is the height of spirituality. You can imagine having that perspective. That means any other type of work that you do is not as valuable to God, and that is having that kind of perspective obviously is wrong, and that will be a problem. When your work becomes your God, that's the other side of the spectrum, where, man, you know, I've got to do everything, I've got to work hard, you know, and then it becomes your God. Another paradigm is your identity is tied into your job, and this is partly why, unfortunately, when there's like a crash in the stock exchange, you know, people throw themselves off the bridge because my life is finished. You know, their life has become their job. And once that's taken away, I have no life. And that's, you know, I mean, we have sad stories of people shooting themselves, their wives and their kids. It's very sad, but it just gives us, this is what's going on in the world, you know. Depending on what survey you research, between 40 to 60% of people don't enjoy their work. It's been shown that, you know, the time where people call in to say I'm not well the most is on a Monday. And I actually heard another speaker, I don't know if this is true, but he said that most heart attacks take place on Monday. I don't know if that's true. He said that, you know, obviously the heart attacks them on a Monday. You can't go to work, you know, but it's just it's Monday, you know, so people aren't enjoying their work. And if you carry that kind of mindset, that's not healthy. Using the Bible as the key to unlock worldly success is another type of paradigm where you're looking for how, at the end of the day, you know, in work I've got to be successful. So you're looking at the Bible just trying to be successful. That necessarily isn't what the Bible is for. Work is purely to pay the bills. You know, we heard that said, you know, people say at the end of the day, just got to pay the bills, you know. We're in business to make money. I've said that, you know, that's something I've actually heard somebody say. Some feel guilty because they're being paid a lot, you know, and these are maybe Christians. Oh, how can I be paid this much? They feel guilty. Some feel less worthy because they're being paid too little. Where, again, what we're being paid is, you know, our identity comes from our pay pack. And we don't feel the value that God has placed on us because we're not being paid as much as we think. These are little subtle things, but they have a huge impact, don't they? And there's a commercial side of life that we cannot ignore at the same time. So as much as we know that, you know, God wants us to live our spiritual life, the reality is that there is a commercial side to life. And so that's why there is this pull. That's why there's this problem, is that there is an understanding as we move on in life that, man, you know, at the end of the day, if I have kids, how am I going to fund their education and everything? So that's the reality. And then you come to church and sometimes, you know, unknowingly you have to give up everything and you think, oh, this doesn't make sense, you know. So we are pulled and tossed here and there. And that's the reason why we have this problem. Now, if you turn the next page, you find out this is where I think the problem started. Okay, that we have actually gone through in history different ages of, in terms of how we work has gone through various stages. And if somebody could read the first stage, agricultural age, who would like to read that? Yeah, Rob. Thanks. Do the next one.
A little over a century ago, things were very different. Up until the late 1800s, we were primarily a collection of agricultural communities. Life revolved around the ebb and flow of cultivating and harvesting. People back then lived like an agricultural community, and they thought like an agricultural community. There were exceptions, but for the most part, the mindset was agricultural. As a farmer, you know you're not in control of your progress. The need to rely on a higher being is more obvious in these circumstances. Working hours would depend on the season. During long days, they will work longer hours, and during shorter days, shorter hours.
Okay, so if we were to take our mindsets back to the agricultural age, you know, and reading this, what do you think would be your perspective of work?
Well, more blended in with nature and God.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
it's natural.
It's natural, yeah.
Be more patient as well.
You'd be more patient. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know.
But
you couldn't live without it. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And you can already see the reason why there's more of an affinity to want to believe in a higher being. Might not be the right God, but at least you know that, hey, you know, if the weather isn't right, man, I'm not going to eat. So you had this, it was an age where to depend on something that was out of your control was almost like necessary.
It don't work,
exactly. You know, I mean, sorry?
A biblical principle,
yeah, you know. I mean, and this was, you know, in general, this was the common understanding about work. Obviously, before the agricultural age, you had the hunting age, but we didn't go through that. Well, you had to, you know, if you didn't get out there and go and, you know, but we didn't talk about that. But at the same time, you still needed to depend. You know, there was a program that Annie and I watched. There's this guy that does this tour to all these small villages. I've got his name. They do this program, and he'll go into the village and find this group of people just living in a very basic life. And one of the guys was a hunter, you know, and he would go out there and hunt. And after 3 days, he couldn't find anything, you know, got the whole group together. It was a whole community effort. They finally found this, you know, this boar that they killed, and the whole community celebrated. You know, I mean, all those type of things They bring community. They bring a dependence on all, you know, and that was a different era, right? And on, you know, now, I mean, that era has ended because how many, what's the percentage of people now actually doing agriculture? It's very small, isn't it? It's very small because after the agricultural age came the industrial age. And Gio, do you want to read that for us, please?
The industrial age brought in control as more and more people left farms to get a job. They were signing up to join a system that would leave them with little control over the working hours. The day's tasks were no longer passively determined by the land or the weather, but a carefully designed system. The introduction of the industrial age gave rise to the working window of 9 to 5. With this shift, the working culture faced a massive change as we became more compartmentalized. No longer would it be the norm where family members worked together on the farm and by this spend lots of time together. With a new way of work, everything you do must take its place on the calendar without violation, sort of without violating the 40-hour window. Unfortunately, the tendency has become that we now define ourselves more by what we do than by who we are. And the impact this has had on Christianity is that for many, our faith is based not so much about on what we believe, but about what we do on Sunday morning.
Exactly. Thank you. The 40-hour window is the time where you work. Yeah, it used to be 40 hours. Maybe it's changed that. The 40-hour window is 9 to 5. So basically, you work out 9 to 5 within the week. That's working. Everything happens. Yeah, and everything happens within that window. Everything to do with work. So it's compartmentalized. And so, in a way, this is a stage that we're in now, isn't it? More or less. Kind of we're moving into another phase, which we'll talk about. But so what are the problems, even just by reading that are highlighted from this industrial age? Yes? No. What's that? Charlie Chaplin.
It's all about industrialization.
Is it? I haven't seen that. Is it? I haven't seen that. But this issue of compartmentalized life, you know, that's how it started. And this is happening without us even kind of like taking time out to reflect, you know. Because when you look at the previous age, you go, you sow your seed, you know, yes, there will be busy times where you'd be on. I mean, this is general because not everybody was a farmer. Okay, I mean, so I'm kind of speaking in general here. But the majority of people we know, there was a time where the majority of people, you know, earned their living by farming. And now everybody's going to work. It's a different stage and everybody's clocking in, clocking out. And their time is being dictated by somebody else. And to put it very harshly, is almost like a new version of slavery, without you even knowing it. You know, because if you don't come to work for a few days, hey, you get the sack. You know, I mean, so somebody else is kind of controlling your time. You know, and this is the age where we find church has to have a slot. And work has to have a slot. And obviously because we spend more of our time at work than at church, you know. So this is, you can begin to see the pull that's happening. It's happening for all of us, whether we like it or not. But the funny thing is, as I study this, in terms of business owners, you know, the people that actually own the business are the ones that have that ability to choose their time. Now, not all of them do, because business doesn't always work that way. If you don't know how to build a business properly where it's not relying on you, sometimes you end up working even longer. But people that know how to build businesses properly, they actually buy their time by getting other people to work for them and do the work. But that's another subject. But we can see here that this is the beginning of why we're having this struggle. And it's important to understand this because it gives us the proper perspective on work. And now we're actually moving into something called the information age. Who would like to read that, please? Yeah, thank you.
We are now moving into another age of work called the information age. This is the age of technology and the knowledge worker. This is a person that is hired to have, based on the information and speciality of his or her field, not understanding that this shift can cause some people to feel guilty or that they are being paid too much.
Okay, so the information age, which is has come about due to the mainly the internet, has played a huge influence on this new age. There's a writer who's passed away now. Many of you might know of him, called Peter Drucker. He's a management guru, and he wrote several years ago that the work of the future, the workers of the future, especially in the Western world, will be called knowledge workers. That they will be paid based on their knowledge. You know, and this is, he wrote this several years ago. And we're seeing that happen. Manual work is being transferred over to third world countries. Meanwhile, they want to hire you because you have the knowledge. And so you're the outsourced consultant that they bring in to give us the idea, because at the end of the day, ideas are the most valuable resource. And so they pay you huge amount, you know. Now, the reason why I put that there, that some people will feel guilty, is because if you don't have the right perspective of the age that we're in, and somebody's saying, look, for 2 hours, we're going to pay you £20,000. You think, that's not right. When there are people suffering, in, you know, you have this, that's just not, I can't accept that, I'm sorry. But that's the age we're in, whether we like it or not. This is what's going on, isn't it? I'm sure. You know, if you look at all the industries, you know, they're paying people for their knowledge, and it's called the knowledge worker, where you perhaps don't even have to lift a finger. You might just have to write something or just appear, give a little talk. Some people are being paid $40,000 just to give a speech. Can you imagine? But that's the age we're in. So, but we need to, and the reason why we as Christians need to be aware of the things that are going on. Because if we're not, then we're kind of like denying the age we're in. Okay, now, the reason why it's important to have this understanding, I believe, is because when we now start looking at the biblical purpose of work, then it will help us understand that if we are in that privileged position to be a knowledge worker, then we also should have the biblical perspective of why we're in that position and what we do with such resources. So just to make that clear. But you can see what's happened over the ages is that work has turned into something completely different from the way it was, you know, hundreds of years ago. We're working in a different environment. Now, in some other countries, they're still maybe in the industrial age, but we're becoming more of a global economy. And we need to accept that this is what's going on in the world. And it's going to help us when we start looking at the biblical principles. Okay, any questions on this, first of all?
So,
yes.
Agricultural approach, you're aware of the fact that God and what's happening in nature kind of is very important. The industrial age has almost kind of made our environment man-made as well. And I think when that's working effectively, it can make us, not have to be, but it can certainly help the world ignore God without any cost. And I think that's part of the difference as well. So it's kind of society's view of what's happening around them as well. I think that's very
exactly
what we actually do physically day to day in our jobs.
Yes. I mean, isn't it funny where you go to a third world country where maybe they're still in between their culture, they're more dependent on God. You know, I mean, you go to Nigeria, I mean, the light doesn't work. You pray, God, please. You know, I mean, you just have to pray for the basic things. you know, but when you're in a society where everything just kind of falls on your lap, then the dependency on God becomes less. And so we can, it also gives us a clear idea of why, you know, the society is kind of like where it is today. Now, in the knowledge work, it can go both ways. You can either depend on yourself now, or you can still go back. And I will look at that, because knowledge work...
Sorry? No, I was just thinking that the opposite of what you're going forward to clarify is that the traditional or the original work condition or ethic of agriculture or more natural operation or physicality of work, those jobs now, instead of having a natural relationship with nature and with God, are, in one sense, being sometimes belittled, but also they are having additional pressure on them. One of the highest rates of suicide is farmers throughout the world.
Wow.
Well, in a developed world. Although I think our focus is, you know, we've progressed, we're into technology, you know, for the most part, most people are involved with some kind of, you know, data or whatever.
Yeah.
How do we deal with our lives?
Yeah.
But there's also an issue for people that do...
That do, the, work the, in yeah, work yeah, in those environments, yes.
Environments, because, as you say, the prestige doesn't go with those jobs. And also, the problem is the pressure, and the economic pressure, is being put
on them,
those
yeah.
situations as well.
Yes, yeah.
And the farmer will work by
himself. The farmer, his problem is he's still having to deal with nature and God, possibly.
Yeah.
But financially, he can't make it happen.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. You know. So we've looked at the problem. We've looked at what's happened over the ages. Just before we have a little break, let's just look at the biblical principles about work. So let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. So we know what's happened. God created Adam, and he's told him, he's put him in the garden. And in verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Okay. So that passage is very important to understand, because what does it highlights that work was initiated by God before the fall. That's the most important thing there, is that work existed before man sinned. And he put him in the garden. Then when we now look at Genesis 3:17, it says, "To Adam he said," this is after they've sinned, "because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, to dust you will return." Okay, so the curse came after the sin, but work in itself came before the fall of man. And so I think that highlights an important perspective, that work is a godly thing. You know, if man didn't sin, man would still be working. Okay, so we'll explore that. But let's look at one more scripture in the New Testament now, in Colossians chapter 3. I remember what I said is having the right paradigm, having the right thought, having the right theology about a topic is the most important thing, because it's from there, that's a foundation, from there that you then see things clearly from God's eyes. So if somebody could just read Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24, please. Okay, thank you. So the New Testament perspective of work is what? Is to whatever you do. That covers like everything, doesn't it? It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we can see, and it's in your notes, that the person who believes work is the curse of God, and the one who believes that work is a potential blessing of God, both of them will walk to their workplace with different strides and approach their work with fundamentally different attitudes. You can see there that the paradigm at which you approach your work changes everything. Man, this is just, why do I have to even work, you know? Do you feel that way sometimes? I feel that, you know, sometimes, you know, it's the realities. Man, you know, just want to go on holiday, you know, just want to, you know, win the lottery, just have enough, just do what I want to do. But no, work is part of God's perspective. So let's have a little, okay, why don't we have a little, our break here, I think. A few minutes break. I hope everything will work out with this tea and coffee thing. But we're going to have a 5 minute break. Okay, yeah? And then we'll. So I just need to pause something here.
you're working for us and so forth, and you have to give that in verbal answer. And so it's not far from that here.
Exactly. And you know, so that's having a biblical perspective, you know, is that my work is to help whoever I'm working for, serving to advance their interests. Right? So the third thing is then modeling. And that's been an example, as Christina mentioned. So through our worship, other people can look at our lives, our God-given skills, our blessings, and ascribe value to God. You know, we reflect Him, which causes others to worship Him. Jesus' work involved modeling the life, character, words, and actions of God, as we saw in John 5:19. When a man aligns himself with God in all that he does, then he truly and naturally models God, just as water reflects light. A river returns to the sea and leaves whisper in the wind. God makes his creation in our work lives as we go to him daily and moment by moment, turning our trust from ourselves to him. As we learn of the life and character of Christ, we can begin to reflect his words and deeds in our own work. Slowly, he recreates us into the people we were originally created to be, fully human, uniquely gifted, natural in worship, and tirelessly productive. Our work begins to work as light does in a dark place. So by being an example in our workplace, we're modeling Christ. So it's a huge testimony, you know, when we have that mindset that by doing a good work, you know, it's inspiring, isn't it? You know, when you see somebody who's really good at something, they inspire you. And that's partly the reason why we need to work at the things that we're good at. I mean, you know, life has to be finding out. You've only got one life, you know. I say, hey, just try as much as possible. Make that effort to put yourself on the sweet spot. You know, if we can see as an act of worship, see as serving others, and be an example because it's what we're good at. We might be only good at a few things. I think I'm only good at maybe a few things. And he will tell you that as well. Yeah.
How do you deal with failure?
That's a very good point. We'll talk about that. In the next class, we'll definitely address that. You know, he said, "How do we deal with failure?" You know, we'll talk about that. You know, we'll definitely come back to that. And the thing, obviously, you're progressing and you're always growing. So, failure is part of the package. And you know, we're failing forward. It's the mindset of failing forward. But being an example is perhaps one of our biggest testimonials in terms of when we talk about sharing our faith, you know, the life that we live. And Paul talked about being the letter, you know, and we might not get it right all the time. It's not that we're going to be perfect, but I think the first thing is knowing, having the right thoughts, having the right perspective that, wow, okay, I need to be an example, you know, for God, you know, and that's how I can reflect him. And then the next one is character development. And to some extent, this is where, Gio, the issue about failure comes in, which is that, first of all, what is character development? The sum of my behaviors, public and private, consistently arranged across the entire spectrum of my life. When we see our work as part of our character development, we have a different perspective, because going to work, as you know, after the fall of man, it is toil, whether we like it or not. You know, it is taking energy. Paul said that he works with all his energy, you know, labors hard and everything. So, but if I didn't know that part of my work was to develop my character, then I'll always run away from it when things get difficult. I'll say, this is just too much. But if I come in with an understanding that part of the purpose of work is so that I can become a better person in my character, then I'm leaning into it. There are things that I don't like to do. As I say, I always say, there are things that your skills, which you can choose your skills, and you don't focus on your strengths, on your weaknesses, you focus on your strengths when it comes to skills. But when it comes to character, that's not a debating issue. Patience, love, kindness, all those character qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, they're not debatable issues. You can't say, it's not my gift to be patient. No. In fact, that is part of the gift. And in fact, oh, it's not my gift to be self-disciplined. I know I struggle with that. But the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So the gift is there. I just need to find it. So there's some areas in my character that I just know I just need to keep working on it, because God, this is part of His process of me becoming the person that I know I need to be. And if I see my workplace as that environment that's going to help me, then I'm going to work with a biblical perspective. Then the last one is provision. You know, preparing or supplying of something. Work provides the essentials of physical life, food, drink, clothing, and shelter. Work is a God-given vehicle for meeting our needs. Work is not an option. Every able person should do it. So it does provide, right? And it will provide the bills, and as we say, right? But now if you turn your page and you look at this kind of model that I put up, and I'm not saying that this is definitive, but this is what I got out of this. How many of you are familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Yeah? Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a study that the basic human progression in terms of our needs are biological and psychological. That's the first thing. As we think about things, we're thinking how basic, you know, things of food, shelter, warmth, all those things have to be sorted out before we even start thinking of protection, security. So it moves in that progression, you know, safety needs and then belonging needs. Once those first two are met, then you can start thinking about family, affection, relationships, work and stuff. Then it moves on to esteem needs, achievement, status, responsibility. And then it moves up to personal growth and fulfillment. Right. Now, when you look at both of these models, if you were to look at from God's perspective, worship being the first, service being the second, modeling and moving in that direction, and you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, when Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you," why, when looking at these two pictures, why do you think there's always that conflict? Does that make sense? When you look at the fact that, humanly speaking, this is the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it identifies that the natural man thinks, I've got to have air, food, drink, shelter first, then security, then belonging, then esteem, then I can think about fulfillment and personal growth. But then when you look at this model in terms of worship being the first thing, service, modeling, character development, then provision, if you look at that and you hear, when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all other things will be added unto you, why do you think, when you look at these two pictures here, does it give us an understanding of why we have this pull?
The provision at the top, is at the top, the opposite end of the spectrum to biological needs at the bottom of the
mountain. Exactly, you know, because naturally speaking, we say work is to pay the bills, you know, and even when you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, hey, of course it's the first thing on my agenda. What are you talking about, coming to church and worshiping God? I need to get money. You understand? And so there's this pull that unless we see things from God's perspective, and I'm not saying that worshipping is going to church and leaving your work. But what I'm saying is that it's about how we view it, I think. It's the way we approach the whole picture of work, which is that, wow, work is to worship God. Work is about serving others. It's about being an example, about, you know, me being a better person. Because I'm sure if we do all those four things diligently, we will get paid. what's, you know, God will provide. And I think, you know, when you look at the Matthew 6, that's what Jesus was saying, that you got to work, obviously, but God takes care of it. But if you put things in the right order, he will take care of it. That's a promise, you know. And so this has been an eye-opener for me. I'm not saying that I've got it all nailed down, but I reflect on this regularly as I go to work to praying that I have the right perspective. So to wrap it up, this is your assignment on the last page, your homework. You have a questionnaire there. The first question is, what phrase best represents the majority of your thinking towards work? Is it work is a curse or work is a potential blessing? And you can then write down why you felt that way. The second question is, write out a brief explanation of how each of these God-ordained purposes is accomplished through your work, worship, service, modeling, character development, and provision. And then the last question is, which of the purposes of work come naturally to you and which are more of a challenge? So if you can spend some time, you know, reflecting and praying and writing it down, it will help you. And so when we meet on the 21st of March, we can first start off by us maybe sharing a bit about that, and then we'll move on to the four areas of focus. I hope this has helped. And any questions?
Sorry, yeah, just in question two. Do you mean specifically in our work environment as we are working now?
Now, yes.
Rather
yeah.
than thinking potentially in the future what we hope to
no,
do.
No, we'll talk about that later. Now, it's now.
Now, now.
The work, yes, exactly. So I hope this has been helpful. It is 10:30. We're going to wrap it up. Do you want to say something? It's time. Yeah, let's pray. Maybe you can talk to me after. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, God, just to really thank you for this lesson. And I pray, God, that for all of us, that you can really help us to draw closer to you and to have the right perspective on work. Father, we thank you for this. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.